about grandfather and trees. At 5 feet 4 inches, my Ada is the tallest man in the world. He's plump and cuddly, has laughing eyes, bright silver hair, and big funny ears. He can waggle his ears without touching them just by wiggling his eyebrows, and he can stick out his tongue and touch the tip of his nose. In case you think that's easy, you should try doing it sometime. Here's another thing about my grandfather. He hasn't told anybody else but me, and I'm telling you now. My Adder is a magician. He lives in a Gulba colony, Sialkot, and everyone there loves him dearly. He's a doctor, one of those people who hands out medicines, bandages up bruised knees, and sometimes cuts open people and sews them back together. Whenever a sick person comes to my Ada, he treats them so nicely and they become all right immediately. In this sense, my Ada is a magician. Once while playing police and robbers, I fell and hurt myself. There was so much blood that my friends began to scream. They carried me inside the house to Ada. Ada held me close and said very quietly so that nobody else would hear, "Do you trust me?" I nodded. "Then I can make the pain go away." He passed his hands over my bruised and bleeding knee. He muttered the words, "Oompa." For a second, all the shouting and crying noises in the background faded, as if I was sitting inside a seashell and could hear them all, but from a long way away. Ada applied some ointments, and the next second, the stinging in my leg disappeared, and I felt cool and tingly and calm. When I drifted back, I blinked and looked down. There was not a bit of pain anymore, and Ada was quickly binding up my knee. "You're a magician," I gasped in wonder. Ada looked up from what he was doing. His face was very solemn, but his eyes were twinkling at me in a laughing, naughty way. I knew I was right. "Why are you bandaging my leg?" I whispered again. "Because," he replied, also in a whisper. I understood he didn't want anyone else to see that he had healed my leg. "I must be the only one to know, just me and Ada, and now you." That wasn't the only sort of magic my grandfather could do. Once, at the railway station, when he came to see me and my mother off at the end of summer vacation, there was a lady with a small baby waiting to board the same train to Lahore. Her baby was fretting and crying. She tried cuddling, petting, feeding him, and singing to him, but he only cried harder. He was unstoppable. Soon, everybody on the platform was looking around to see what the commotion was about. Ada let go of my hand and casually strolled across to the newspaper stand, close to where the mother and baby were. He picked up a copy of a newspaper and paid for it. As he turned away, he looked directly at the screaming baby over the mother's shoulder, right into his teary brown eyes. The baby paused halfway through a yell. I saw Ada whisper the words, "Oompa," smile, and wink at him. The baby gave a small gurgle of surprise. His tiny face split into a toothless grin. Ada rejoined us, and I looked up at him, grinning delightedly. He avoided my eyes, opened his newspaper, and started to read. But I noticed the side of his mouth twitch for a moment. He had done it. My grandpa had made the baby stop crying just by his kind smile and gestures. The next summer, I returned to Sialkot for my vacation as usual. There was a bumper crop of mangoes that year and everybody gobbled to their heart's content. One day, I happened to find a Chonsa mango that was perfect, neither too sweet nor too sour, amber-colored and juicy. I gnawed on the seed until it was quite bald. "Why don't you plant it?" suggested Ada. "Can I?" I asked, wide-eyed. "Yes, of course. There is a free patch in the garden. Just dig up the earth, put it in, and cover it up. If we water it every day, we'll probably have a mango tree in no time." "You should," urged my grandmother, her mouth full of mango. Your Ada will look after it for you when you are away at school. I don't know how he does it, but most things he plants start to bear fruit in a year. It's some kind of fertilizer he uses, I think. Ma, sighed my mother in exasperation. How can that possibly be? No tree will give fruit in a year, not unless you use magic. She apparently found this thought quite funny, because she was still chuckling when Ada and I left the room. Outside, we got the spade and dug a hole. I will never forget that day working quietly out in the backyard with my grandfather, my fingernails stained with the red salt-coat soil, the sun warm on our backs. When I got it right, he nodded at me and smiled. He always smiled with his eyes. His smile is another reason I remember that day. That and because it was the last summer with him. 11 months later, back in Lahore, the telephone rang. It was just after dinner and my mother hurried to the next room to answer it. I heard her speak for a moment and then she gave a cry. My father rushed to her and there was a flurry of voices. When they returned, my mother was crying bitterly and my father's arm was around her. She was inconsolable. My father looked upset too. You leave by the night train. I'll arrange for leave from work and from Ali's school and bring him later tomorrow. Anyway, he doesn't need to see. Well, you know. My mother nodded and they went off to pack her bag. She left that same night. The next morning, Papa locked up the house and took me with him to Lahore Central Station. By the time we stepped off the train in Sialkot, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The day after the phone call had come, I automatically looked up and down the station platform out of habit, expecting to see my grandfather waiting for me with his cheery smile and his arms wide open. Instead, my father and I made our way outside and took a rickshaw. When we reached the old brown cottage in Gulberg Colony, it looked as serene as ever. The flowers in the front garden were in full bloom, as if the magician who looked after them was sitting just in the next room. Only, this time, my grandmother wasn't waiting for me with her face pressed to the window. This time, I had to go inside to her. My mother, grandmother, and some other people were sitting around in the drawing room. They looked sad. My grandmother clung to me when she saw me. She had no tears, but I could tell that her heart was crying. A little while later, I felt that the lump in my throat was getting too tight to bear, so I got up and wandered off by myself. In my 7 years, I had never seen the house messy or anything out of its place. Today was no different. I went into Ada's room. I was afraid it would make me cry, but it didn't. His bed was neatly made and his clothes were hung up on the clothes stands just as always. I sat on the bed for a while and then leaned forward and buried my face in the pillow. It smelled of him, and the sheets smelled of cotton and summertime and all the things that made me happy. I got up, crossed over to his cupboard, and opened it. There was his wallet, his watch, his comb, and his stethoscope. I found an old black-and-white photograph of his mother, whom he had loved very much. Then I found an envelope with my name on it. Curious, I reached out and picked it up and returned to sit on the bed. Inside, there was a letter. It said, Dear Ali, I never told you this before, but you are a magician too. Every person with a kind heart is. You don't know it yet, but as time goes on, you'll see. Now all you have to do is believe it. It is something I have given to you. You'll do many wonderful things with your gift of kindness. I cannot think of anyone better to whom I can pass on this special power of mine. Use it well. Someday you'll be an even better magician than I ever was. Love, Ada. Clutching the letter close to my chest, I began to pace the room. My heart was singing. Suddenly, I felt like my grandfather had come back to me. He had come to live inside me. The next morning, I woke to the sounds of birds chirping happily in the backyard. Suddenly, I remembered something I had forgotten to check. I jumped out of bed, ran through the house, out through the back door, and into the garden where Ada and I had planted the mango seed the previous summer. My grandmother was right. It was full of mangoes. I stood under it and looked up into its branches above. It was the tallest tree in the world.